Signora Zaguzzo nearly wept for joy when her son Gino and her grandson Antonio returned home. The moment the electricity had gone off, the flickering light from the fire had invaded the house, its reflection dancing and leaping over the walls and furniture, making it seem as if the house itself had caught fire. The Zaguzzos' telephone had been ringing constantly, friends wanting to know if they were all right. Some had even come to the door with fire extinguishers. Gino and Antonio were downstairs talking with the firemen, who were urging the Zaguzzos to evacuate, as others in the neighborhood had already done. The officers spoke in lowered voices and with considerably more deference than usual, because they were aware that the old man at the window upstairs was the great Archimede Zaguzzo. And Archimede Zaguzzo would not leave the house. Nor would any of the Zaguzzos consider leaving while he was still in it. So Gino and Antonio busied themselves moving furniture away from the windows, taking down curtains, rolling up rugs, and moving flower boxes indoors. Antonio went upstairs to the terrace, ripped the awning off its rod, and sprayed water on the roof tiles, which had become so hot that steam rose up from them. Signora Zaguzzo and her daughter-in-law, meanwhile, put things into suitcases in order to be ready to flee the moment Archimede changed his mind. Gino, noticing his wife's suitcase in the hall, lifted the lid to see what valuables she had put in. It was filled with family photographs, still in their frames. "We can replace everything else," she said, "but not the memories." Gino kissed her. Suddenly, there was another earth-shaking boom. The roof over the backstage had fallen in. A fire captain came up the stairs and told the Zaguzzos, almost apologetically, that his men would have to run a hose through their living room to a window facing the Fenice, just in case the fire breached the wall across the canal. But first, the firemen cleared a path for the hose. With care verging on reverence, they moved Archimede Zaguzzo's works of art in glass, the abstract, modernist pieces he had made in the 20s and 30s, when most other Venetian glassmakers were still turning out flowery 18th-century designs. When they laid down the fire hose, it was flanked by an honor guard of glass objects touched by Zaguzzo's genius. Bowls and vases embedded with fine threads of colored glass resembling lace, or with undulating ribbons of color, or with tiny bubbles suspended in rows and spirals. There were remarkable solid sculptures of people and animals made from single masses of molten glass, a seemingly impossible feat that he alone had mastered. Gino came to his father's bedroom door, accompanied by the fire captain. The captain, rather than presuming to address the old man directly, turned to Gino and said, "We are very concerned for the maestro's safety." Signor Zaguzzo continued to stare out the window in silence. "Papa," said Gino in a gently pleading voice, "the fire is getting closer. I think we should leave." Gino's father kept his eyes on the Fenice, watching as bursts of green, purple, umber, and blue flames punctuated the fire. He could see the flames through the slits in the louvered shutters at the back of the Fenice, and he saw their reflections on the rippling puddles at the bottom of the canal. He saw great, long tongues of fire licking out through windows and geysers of glowing ash soaring through holes in the roof. The winter air outside the bedroom window had turned blazing hot. The Fenice had become a furnace. "I'm staying here," Archimede Zaguzzo said quietly.